Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line is UB political science professor Jacob Neuheisel, talking about last night's debate and where the Democrats who were on stage go from here. Jacob, thanks for joining us. Seven on the stage last night. I can't believe we increased from last week. Last week it was six. Now we go up to seven. But I don't know. Most people don't expect it to stay at seven for that long. What about you?
I wouldn't think so. I expect most of that field to stay in at least through Super Tuesday. And then if Super Tuesday looks the way I think most people expect it to, I would calculate that some of those folks are going to need to drop out. They're going to be bleeding too much money at that point to really stay in the race.
All right. Well, who do you think did the best last night after watching?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the status quo was maintained across the board, which of course then means that basically it was a Bernie win. Right? If he's able to stay on top, weather the attacks without anyone gaining significant ground on him, then I say that he's a big winner out of the debates. I don't see anybody really moving the needles, and the problem is that several of them needed to.
What did you make of Bernie as a front runner last night? I mean, last night was the first time we really got to see him as the guy that everybody's chasing. And, you know, that's going back not only throughout this campaign, but to 2016 as well.
Oh, it's interesting to watch him in that role, and I believe he even made light of it last night as well. Obviously that made him a target for a number of attacks, and I don't think that any of them really landed. Unlike with Warren's attacks on Bloomberg, where there was some exchange as to, you know, whether he did or did not do what he was accused of doing, Bernie owned everything. He said, I said that. That's not exactly the context in which it was said or not exactly what I meant, but yeah, that's what I said. And so I think he was successfully able to diffuse a lot of those attacks just by owning it.
You know, many are saying that Joe Biden had his best debate performance yet, but did it come maybe a little, you know, too little too late?
Yeah, that's the worry with someone like Biden. You know, he still is up in the polls in places like South Carolina. I'm not sure he has the momentum to get through Super Tuesday, even after a potential win in South Carolina. He seems fairly confident of that judgment, and of course they all put on a public face of confidence. But even with a little bit of a comeback, it's not clear that he really did himself too much of a favor.
You know, speaking of Biden, still making some gaffes. Yesterday, he mentioned that he was running for U.S. Senate before he realized they made the mistake not saying president. And then last night on the debate stage, he mentioned at one point that 150 million people were killed by gun violence in the U.S. since 2007. Did you pick up on that?
It's not a good look for him. Look, we all make speaking errors. I teach for a living. I've made any number of them that have been caught, and then, you know, my students have not informed me of some of them. So it happens, but it feeds into a narrative that he's not exactly up to the task and that maybe he spent a little bit too long of a time in politics.
Elizabeth Warren seemed to be changing her approach, at least. You know, she was on the attack a lot during the debate last week, but it seemed like this week she tried to, you know, tell people, hey, Bernie Sanders, he's the front runner. We're like the same person, except I can get some of these things done.
Yeah, I mean, that was an attack that a number of them had, was the viability argument. Here's Bernie Sanders. He's too far to the left. His ideas are not going to have a lot of traction, even if he is elected. So, you know, vote for me because I'm the more viable candidate. And I don't know how much that plays in a primary situation where the vast majority of your voters are dedicated or more ideological in nature. And so I think that somewhat fell flat. And, you know, as for her repeating her performance that was kind of incendiary, particularly when she went after Bloomberg, I think she's kind of mined that well quite a bit and, you know, wasn't able to retreat on that front.
Jacob, do you see the economy moving to the forefront of this race, especially as we get, you know, closer to the real matchup going into November, if coronavirus gets worse?
Absolutely. I mean, the economy is always at the forefront of the race. You know, if you had three variables to predict the winner of an election, it would be presidential approval, it would be what the economy is doing at the macro level, and it would be, you know, what party controls the White House. You know, that gets you pretty close to the answer many times. And so with the economy taking a bit of a nosedive and people being a little bit hesitant about it, yeah, that's absolutely going to come to the forefront.
Okay, a lot to keep our eyes on going forward. When it comes to South Carolina and Super Tuesday, do you see this field narrowing a lot over those two important days, a little bit as far as terms in terms of people dropping out? Coming out of Super Tuesday, you know, the debate after that, how many will still be in it?
That's a great question. I mean, most of the candidates have something going for them. They either have money, in the case of Bloomberg, who can gut it out for quite some time. They have the viability argument with somebody like Biden, obviously the frontrunner status with somebody like Bernie, or, you know, moving over expectations or overperforming expectations with Buttigieg or Klobuchar. So everyone has some claim to be there. After a Super Tuesday, I think they'll become a little bit more into focus, and we might see a couple of the folks become also Rans, though.
All right, Jacob, we appreciate it. Jacob Nyheisel, political science professor at the University at Buffalo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.